ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्याज्ञानार्जुनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलयितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। It is too much honor for me to speak in front of so many devotees from Chaupati community, but just following the order of superiors, I have to surrender and to talk. When I thought, what should I speak about, a verse came to my mind from Srimad Bhagavatam, from second canto, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha. The verse which speaks about how merciful not only the Lord, and how powerful not only the Lord, but how powerful devotee of the Lord. And in that verse, all kind of degraded people mentioned. I don't know which race belong Ukraine people, probably Hunas, definitely not Khasas, not Chinese people, something like Hunas. And this verse describes how wonderful devotee of the Lord, that even those who didn't perform any purificatory processes and never surrendered to the Lord still could become purified by taking shelter of those who took shelter of the Lord. So this process of Krishna consciousness is really so powerful. It is so powerful that no other process, no any material process could match this process of Krishna consciousness and process especially of Harinam Sankirtan. And that's why Srila Prabhupada coming to Moscow, coming to Soviet Union only once for a few days, planted a seed, and that seed, despite of very unfavorable situation, grown up and gave so many fruits. And because this process is really transcendental, it doesn't matter which material conditions around. It doesn't matter. It could be very favorable, I mean, most favorable for at least for Kali Yuga situation in India for spreading Krishna consciousness. It could be externally unfavorable situation like we have in other countries in the West or in Ukraine from where I am. But actually, it would be too materialistic to speak that this situation favorable and this situation unfavorable. If we considering situation more or less favorable, that means indirectly that we put in bhakti, which is transcendental, we put in independent position, dependent on material circumstances, and that's even a bit of offensive, actually. So, because this process connects directly to soul, this process connects soul to God, that's why it doesn't matter which material conditions around. And this is great mercy of Srila Prabhupada, actually. So I'm very happy to be here in Chaupati again, year after year. I'm coming here, and we're trying to bring as many devotees as possible to Chaupati, because we're coming here to learn family spirit, which definitely a sign of very mature bhakti. So thank you very much for allowing us to be here. Thank you very much for everybody who was involved in caring for us. We felt ourselves like we are in the hands of God, actually. After coming here, we went to Nasik, and all the way, wherever we are, we're always taking care, we're always fed, we're always accommodated nicely, and we're feeling really to be part of your family. Although many of the devotees, they came first time to India, they never been in India, but they feeling themselves to be a part of your family, spiritual family. So thank you very much for everything. Hare Krishna.
Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yomam Pashyati Savatra. Savam Chamai Pashyati. Tasyam Na Pranashyami. Satshamina Pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of material nature, but in each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is development of love of Krishna, a position transcendental even to material liberation. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee, and the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. In that stage, the living entity can never be annihilated, nor is the Supreme Personality of God ever out of sight of the devotee. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Saksulun Miritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Thank you very much that I have the opportunity today here to speak in this temple, Chaupati. I gave a little lecture already previously, but not a Sunday class. So my name is Preetu Das. I joined 72. I've been Srila Prabhupada's disciple since. And it has been a long time, 38 years in Krishna consciousness, with all the ups and downs, crises, roadblocks, disasters, and wonderful moments that one can experience in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Krishna comes to us in a way we don't expect. We have no problem to say, this is Krishna's mercy, and somebody brings us a huge plate of prasadam. It's rasgulla, sandesh, sweets, everything the heart can desire. But what if death strikes, for example? I remember when I was a young boy, I was 12 years old, and my brother died. I'm coming from a Christian background. He was became sick with cancer with 3 years. His skull was opened like this, about 5 times and closed again. Another piece was taken out. And finally, with 7 years, he died. And I remember I stood at his bed, at his head. The priest was standing at the feet. And he made this big sigh. And my mother, you can imagine for a mother, he was the youngest child. My mother was heartbroken. He was emaciated to a skeleton, practically speaking. There was no bones, there was only bones. And he made a sigh, 2 big tears rolled over his cheeks, and he died. And I said to the priest, why? Why does God allow this? Where is God here in all this? And the priest said, I don't know. I said, it says in the Bible, everyone reaps what he sows. What has he sown? He was only 3 years old. He said, I have no answer. And I told him, I said, Father, I'm becoming an atheist. Because nothing made sense to me. Why should a small child suffer if there's only one life? Why? What is the reason? Where is justice? Somebody's born with a silver spoon in his mouth, he has everything. Somebody's born in utter poverty. Somebody's born a leper, somebody blind, somebody rich, somebody happy, somebody unhappy, somebody without limbs. Where is justice in all this? If you look from Western point of Abrahamic religion. Abrahamic religion means Muslim, Christian, or Jewish. They all claim Abraham being in their line. There is no answer. There is no answer. And so people become atheists because they do not see that the word karma is a very simple one. It means as you do, you get. And what I receive in this life, what I'm living right now in this moment, is nothing but my past frozen. That's my past. I'm living in the present, my past. Whatever I did is summed up in this very moment I'm sitting here. And only later, when I turned to India, I studied comparative religion. And so I had to study Indian scripture. When I read Bhagavad Gita, I could understand the higher reasoning, why there is justice. Kamana Deva Netrina, as Krishna says in Bhagavatam. Everybody reaps what he sows. Yes, just like Christians believe in future life, I get the goods and the bads of this life. So in the same way, it makes perfect sense. It makes only sense. Otherwise, there's no God. There's no God in control. There's no justice. That is a previous life. And so I looked to the east. I started to search. And I went to Crete and stayed in a cave. And it happened to be the same cave Radhanath Swami 1 year stayed before in. In Matala. And then I went to Istanbul on my way to India. And I stayed in a hotel which was called Hotel Gulan. Little did I know that Prabhu Vishnu had gone through that same hotel a year before on his way to India. But I was so discouraged. I had hardly any money. If you read His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's book, he was discouraged. Don't go any further. It is catastrophe. Going to India is very risky. I was discouraged. So I didn't have friends. He had some friends, and he was guided to go that way. And I was guided to go back to Europe. Ultimately, I came to Srila Prabhupada, but also in a very miraculous way. But I must say, the death of my brother had a deep meaning in this tapestry. It had deep meaning. We may not see the deep meaning that a moment has for us at times, but we should understand that everybody is eating his own soup, that whatever we experience is based on decisions we have made previously, our own decisions. And therefore we have to take responsibility for our suffering. We cannot blame anybody. If we point our finger, three fingers point towards myself. It is true through the senses and through the mind and through the intelligence. I can only understand this person has beaten me. That's all I can see. And it is true. If I'm beaten by my father, it is true. It's also a fact. I was beaten by my father, by the way. I was pretty bad at school. So my senses tell me, my mind tells me, my intelligence tells me I was beaten by my father. But if I go through Shastra Chakshu, then I can understand I needed to be beaten. It was a reaction, a karmic reaction to a previous life. And if my father would not have beaten me, somebody else would have beaten me. I needed to be beaten. That was a fact. I needed to be beaten. And my father just had to be, was a person in place. If he wouldn't have beaten me, certainly somebody else would. Because everybody eats his own soup and Krishna is the cook. We supply the sabji, the masala, and the salt, and all the ghee. These are our activities, and Krishna cooks the soup that everybody is going to be served sooner or later. And therefore, we can't complain. We shouldn't become accusers. Whatever happens to us, we shouldn't become accusers. We have to see beyond the immediate cause. There's one verse in Bhagavatam which explains this. Give me a second. I just find it. Where is Krishna? Here is Krishna. Yasmin yato yena yasya yasmat yad yo yata kurute karyachat pavardesham paramam prak prasidam tat brahma tat detur ananyat ekam. The Supreme Lord Krishna is the ultimate resting place of soul and source of everything. Everything is done by him. Everything belongs to him. Everything is offered to him. He is the objective, and whether acting or causing others to act, he is the ultimate doer. There are many causes, high and low, but since he is the cause of all causes, he is well known as a supreme Brahman who existed before all activity. So, whether acting directly or causing others to act, he is the ultimate doer. He is a cook. And so everybody reaps what he sows. And whatever happens to us is good for us. Because Krishna never makes a mistake. I remember we installed these beautiful deities, Radha Govinda, on a gorgeous place, an island in the middle of a lake. Everything was Krishna's plan. The land itself, even Churchill visited this island. It's such a beautiful place. We own the whole island, huge park around, everything beautiful, mansion in the middle, and on a glorious throne, the size of the throne you have there, gold, silver plated. These gorgeous deities of Radha Govinda are situated. How would we be able to buy this land? Well, when we saw the deity, we promised the deity we will find the most beautiful spot for you. We had no money. We had no idea. We bought the deities. We couldn't resist. The deities arrived in a box. So the next question was, where's beautiful land? Where's a beautiful spot? Now, the owner of the land was a very rich Indian English gentleman. His friend was kidnapped just a week before by the underground army. And his wife was frantic. She said, they're going to come to us next and they're going to burn, because they were Protestants, they're going to burn our house. And it was a panic sale. And when we arrived in the town, that picture arrived in the window at that moment. It was for sale, a panic sale, and we bought it. We needed some land for cows. Another catastrophe. On the other side, there was some land. The owner explained us. He tried to buy it for a long time. It was bought by the Irish government, by the Northern Irish government, to develop some sort of a holiday resort. And it was taken by a company which is called Trustos Forte, a very famous company. Then, 20 years before we got there, a huge riot broke out in Londonderry, and many people got killed. And the company refrained from the contract. And the land laid undeveloped, with planning permission for 50 houses for 20 years. The week after we bought the island, the man called us. He said, "Will you go back on the sale?" He said, "Why?" He said, "The land on the other side is for sale. I waited for 20 years. We bought that." So there was a catastrophe there, a riot. People died. Krishna's plan is inconceivable. That's why we were able to buy this land. A man had to be kidnapped. We were able to buy this land. Then we installed the deities. And there was one girl who was helping us, Mother Mahamantra. She had a little girl, 2 years old. And I remember we were sitting eating the Sunday feast, and all of a sudden, I got this intuition. I said, "Where is this girl? Where is Barbara?" I looked around. And I got frightened because we are living on a lake. And I said, "Immediately, let everybody search." And everybody jumped up and we searched. And there we saw her drifting in the lake. She was dead. And I remember I rode out there. I cried my eyes out. And I put this poor girl on the lap. And there on the quay, there was Ma Mantra standing and crying and crying and crying. And I said to her, "Ma Mantra, it is Krishna himself that is coming to you in a very special way. I know it's hard, but not a blade of grass moves without a sanction. You have to look through the eyes of scriptures. I know it's difficult. This is very difficult. But it's the Lord himself who comes to you." And Srila Prabhupada points this out. There's one purport where he says, let me just give me a second. When a devotee is in distress, he sees that the Lord has come himself in the form of distress. Just to relieve or purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world. While one is in the material world, one is in various conditions, and therefore a devotee sees a condition of distress as but another feature of the Lord. There's good news. If you are experiencing distress like this girl, she experienced very distressful for the mother to lose the only child. She was halfway doing pujari work, the rest she was tied down to the child. She thought about it. She came in the evening to me and said, "You're right. This is Krishna's desire. For the rest of my life, I will be the servant of Radha Govinda." She's since 25 years ahead pujari. She never goes away from the deities. The deities are her life and soul. And she says, "My life has become fortunate. What appeared to be a tragedy was actually my good fortune, because I could dedicate my whole life now to the worship of Sri Sri Radha Govinda." So we never know what Krishna has in mind when he comes to us in the form of distress. It may be your husband dies, it may be your wife dies, it may be your child dies. My brother died. This man had to be kidnapped so that something wonderful could happen. A riot had to break out, with hundreds of people being killed, so that we were able to buy this land next door. Everything is minutely managed at every second by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no chance. He's writing the script of the drama, Krishna Productions. I said this before. It has four acts. Satya Yuga, Dvarapa Yuga, Treta Yuga, and this is Kali Yuga. And Krishna is not only the script writer, he's a producer of the drama, and he's also the director of the drama, and the co-director. So Krishna is completely in control at every moment. Yomam Pashya, and one who can see that, he's always connected with Krishna. I have seen so many things. By the way, it was the speaker announced that I resigned out of health reasons. That's not exactly the full truth. I have no problem to talk about it. I encountered some serious roadblock in my spiritual life. It was also done by Krishna, and good so. Krishna gave me enough intelligence to resign from every position I had in ISKCON. I thought that was my duty. And I can honestly say that my realization is that if you pay a very high price, that in terms of a position in the society, I'm nothing. But I realize it's not entitled. And this is a sentence of Bhaktisiddhanta. It's not in titles, it's not in ranks, it's not in money in London banks that gives us peace and rest. So I found something very wonderful. And I'm glad I pulled through this crisis. So Krishna comes to us in a variety of ways. He knocks at our door. But whatever happens to us, it may look like a disaster. It may look like a huge failure, but actually by the end of the day, if we hold on to these beads and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare
Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
We are totally safe. We are totally saved. Look, there's more coming out of the bead bag than only a finger. There's a finger coming out of the bead bag, but everything else as well. Whatever we need comes out of the bead bag. If you have any shortcomings, chant Hare Krishna. If you have something lacking, chant Hare Krishna. If you miss something, chant Hare Krishna. If you need something, chant Hare Krishna. Just turn to Krishna and the rest will be given to you automatically. Machita Sarva Durgani. Lord says, Sarva, all difficulties in life, Sarva Durgani, Machita, if you direct your consciousness towards me, Machita Sarva Durgani, Mat Prasadam, by my mercy, Tarishyasi, they will be destroyed. That's all we have to do. We just have to turn to Krishna. That's all we have to do, no matter how big the crisis may be. A crisis is a blessing in disguise. I have been expert in that. I've been able to sleep sometimes for nights and nights and nights. And good so. Because by the end of the day, I'm glad to be in the space in which I'm right now. It is purely Krishna's blessing. And I find that I can serve Srila Prabhupada in a much deeper way and more profound way than I have been able to do previously. So we should see Krishna in all things. Whatever happens at every moment, there's nothing but Krishna. In the last days of Srila Prabhupada, I happened to be in his room a lot. And one of the last things Srila Prabhupada said, in fact, the last thing he said, not the last thing, the last thing was Hare Krishna. And then he left his body. By the way, Mahavishnu Maharaj will go today or tomorrow. He will not be able to stay longer in the body. He's in the hospital, and the doctor said he has one day to live, at most two. The water is rising in his body, and so our prayer should go out to him. He's a wonderful soul, blessed in many ways, a wonderful spiritual master, to many disciples. Our heart goes out to him, and we should all pray for him for a good passage. Hari Bol! So we should all pray to the deity for one moment that Krishna will take him home back to Godhead. One moment of silence. And what can be more powerful than the prayers of the devotee? How wonderful Krishna inspiring us to come to this conclusion, to pray for Mahavishnu. How wonderful. Lord is in the heart. Savasya Traham Ridi Sani Vishnu Matasmitya Jnanam Aponamcha. What can I say? It is the Lord who is speaking through us when we preach Krishna Katha, when we preach Bhagavad Dharma, when we preach the message of Krishna. Krishna is the inspiration, he's the ability in man. He's the intelligence of the intelligent. He's the strength of the strong. And so, miraculously, Krishna inspires us. So many devotees are praying for Mahavishnu Maharaj, to the deity, that he may go back to Godhead. What a wonderful way to be accompanied by so many thousands of devotees. So this is all Krishna's doing at every moment. And so Prabhupada said, just before he left his body, it took a long time to bring it out. He lifted his hand like this. I was standing at his feet. I was so fortunate I was holding his feet. These feet were very patchy. Patchy, you understand, they were very blown up like balloons because he had so much water. His kidney misfunctions. And if you know a little bit about medicine, if the kidney misfunctions, the water is rising in the body till it comes to the heart, and that's the time when you leave the body. So I was holding his hand. His feet were like silk. And he said, everything moving and non-moving, there's nothing but Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. That was his last teaching to us. Yomam pasyati savatra savam chamai pasyati tasyam na pranashyami satcham ina pranashyati. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. Then he said, Hare Krishna. He didn't finish. He was already gone back home, back to Godhead. And the kirtan took on another dimension. We were about 100 in the room. We realized that this kirtan is just part of a greater kirtan. That we were tuning in somehow. Or other. I had this experience one time. I flew from London. I flew from London to Los Angeles, but it's 9 hours different. I didn't know whether I was male or female when I arrived. I was so upside down. I didn't know when it was day or night. It was. I was so confused. So I lay down, and all of a sudden, in my dream, I hear this incredible kirtan. And thousands of voices and musical instruments, and I wake up, and I still hear this kirtan. And I look out of the window, and I see Los Angeles Temple glowing. It's a true story. I can't speak a lie in front of the day. So I walked over there. It was in the evening, 10 o'clock. And the closer I came to the temple, the more simpler the kirtan was. And when I opened the door, there were just two people chanting Hare Krishna who were completely tuned into a greater kirtan that took place in the universe at that time. They didn't know that they were part of a higher kirtan. So sometimes it is like this. We are inspired by Krishna. When the kirtan happens and it becomes very inspired, we may be part of a greater kirtan that is just going on. So when Prabhupada left, everybody had this experience that there was no roof. There was no limit to the kirtan. It was an unlimited kirtan that carried on. Prabhupada's favorite melody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada left this world, and if everybody was crying, we were crying like birds and holding on to each other. Very fortunate that we have been able to be there at that time to see how Srila Prabhupada, it was like Bhishma lying on a bed of arrows. Bhishma lying on the bed of arrows, yesterday Maharaj talked about it. How painful one arrow in our body. Thousands of arrows. The doctor told us Prabhupada is experiencing pains that no one of you would be able to tolerate. He never complained. He never complained. He would just lie in bed and suffer silently. And in fact, I had to sing for him many hours. And so he would roll over, and I would just sit there where you are sitting. And we had, it was a wonderful situation to be so close to Guru Maharaj and see how Prabhupada was pulling through. There was no complaint. There was no anxiety. Na sochati na kankshati. Brahmabhuta prasanatma. He was completely equipoised. He said, I have to show you how to die. He said, you know how to open bottles. The servant gave him medicine. And he asked the servant, did you close a bottle? Something so trivial, you may think. Somebody's dying. It was the third last thing he said. And he asked, did he close a bottle? I was shocked. And the servant said, no. And Prabhupada said, that is your disease, all of you. You know how to open bottles. You don't know how to close them. You start so many things, and you don't see the consequences. You know how to live, but you don't know how to die. And so I have to show you. So in this little thing, Prabhupada expounded the whole downfall of civilization, so-called civilization, opening bottles. Don't see the consequences. People wonder why they can't sleep in the West. Now they find out that fluoride in the water, it's in the toothpaste, is deteriorating the pineal gland. And the pineal gland is responsible for producing melatonin. So people can't sleep. Opening bottles, trying out this, trying out. Everything is perfectly managed by Krishna. He arranged everything perfectly. We just have to tune in. When we harmonize, our future is brighter than the moon. Nature is God's instrument. Alone he plays the tune. But people don't harmonize. That's why we are here. We are here because we didn't harmonize. We fell. Nobody should look into the mirror in the morning and think there's something to be proud about. There's nothing to be proud about having a material body. There's nothing you can think about. Even if you have some qualification. These are not your qualifications. They're given by Krishna. There's nothing. Think about it. Your abilities. If you can speak, if you can sing, if you can dance, you may be a great artist, you may be a great philosopher. There's nothing to be proud about. Nothing. We don't have anything. Everything that we have is given to us by Krishna. And he wants to see what we do with it. Are we using it in his service or are we using it in our service? Krishna gives us facility. He asks us this question. What do you want? That's one question Krishna asks. What do you want? I want this. Okay, take it. Nitya nityananam, chetana chetananam, eko, oho, yo vidati kama, Lord fulfills all desires. That's the one question he asks. The other is, when are you finished with all this? When are you finished, finally, with all this? Because it is useless, material existence. There's no use in it. What are we living for if we don't live for Krishna? Where do we find peace except in Krishna. Yatvamam shantim richati. Only in Krishna we find peace. Only in Krishna we find happiness. Only in Krishna we find solace in anxiety, in times of trouble. In our darkest hour, I went through so many dark hours in my life. In the darkest hour, it is only Krishna that we can rely on. There's nobody who can help us but Krishna. And he will always be there. He's always there. My personal experience. He's always there. In the moment of greatest crisis, the Lord comes in our life and shows, don't be afraid. You're not alone. That is a fact. I can speak from experience. We are not alone. Krishna may be a hidden God. Yes, he's hidden. Naham prakasha savas ya yoga maya samavrita mudo yam namijranati. Fools cannot see me. That's a fact. He's a hidden God. However, he's ever present. And whatever happens in the presence, it is himself that comes in front of us in a variety of ways. If we want to connect with God, we can connect with God only in the presence. The past is history. The future is a mystery. The presence is a present. It's a gift. We can relate to Krishna in the presence. We can connect to Krishna when we chant. Sincerely, we connect with Krishna. The materialist sees everything. He wants to be disconnected from Krishna, and therefore he sees everything disconnected from Krishna. Devotee wants to be connected with Krishna, and therefore he sees everything in connection. The rivers, the oceans, the trees, the forest, the air. He sees everything in connection with Krishna, and therefore he doesn't destroy the forest. He doesn't destroy the air. He doesn't destroy the oceans. These are demons who are destroying the environment. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, demons destroying the earth. If somebody is connected with Krishna, he has high respect for nature because he understands it is Krishna's nature. He owns everything. Bhaktaram yagatapasam. Sarvaloka maheshvaram. He owns everything. Everything is owned by him. One should only take that which is absolutely necessary. One shouldn't take more, knowing well who it belongs. Ishva shemidam sarvam yat kicha jagadyam jagat. Tena taktena bundita magrita hakasya svitanam. But people are so ignorant that they cannot see. They cannot even understand that they are not the body. And therefore he's a fool. Murk. Krishna says this. The foolish cannot understand how the soul is leaving the body, how the soul is entering another body. But one who has eyes to see can see all this. So anybody who cannot see that he is different from the body, that he is a spirit soul, an eternal citizen of the spiritual world, he's a fool. Anybody who doesn't hear Shabda Brahma, he's a fool. He will be absorbed in relative truth, that what he can conceive through his senses. And his whole life will be a life of myth-making. Myth, you understand, myth. The myth of innocence. Why is this happening to me? Why do I suffer? I'm innocent. No, sir. Nobody's innocent. Everybody eats his own soup. It is a myth of innocence that the world has accepted as paradigm. Nobody's innocent. Everybody is a prisoner. You're a prisoner. I'm a prisoner. You're in your cell. I'm in my cell. Don't worry. I'm right next door to you. We're all prisoners. We're all in our cells next to each other like brothers and sisters. Everybody in a cell. Covered by the shell of the universe. Very solidly. We are in trouble. Don't smile at yourself when you look into the mirror. feel sorry for yourself. Feel sorry for yourself. Say, poor little me. I'm such a fool that I came here. I'm such a fool. I was with Krishna. I had everything. But I was such a fool that I came to the material world. But although we are fools, or because we understand that we are fools, therefore we come to knowledge. This is the first realization. We have to understand we are fools and we need to hear. We need to take guidance. That's the end of foolishness, that we understand we are fool number one. Then we take guidance. And then we hear Shabda Brahma, instead of engaging our life in myth-making. Every mundane religion is nothing but myth-making. People project their own ideas on Krishna, on Buddha, on Jesus. The ceiling is white, somebody has a red spectacle, he sees a red ceiling. Somebody has a yellow spectacle, he says, no, the ceiling is yellow. Somebody has green spectacle, says, no, the ceiling is green, and they're fighting and smashing the holy books around their heads. It is all myth-making. The myth of the dying God in Christianity. It is a myth. God never dies. Are we saved by Haridas Thakur being beaten over 21 marketplaces? No. Are we saved by Prahlad Maharaj being tortured by his father? No. Are we saved by Jesus being crucified to the cross? No. That doesn't save a man. That is not the saving event. The saving event is if you follow the teachings of the masters, if you actually have a change of heart. That is a saving event. The saving event is Krishna Upadesh, the instruction of Krishna, which is Sarva Dharman Parijaya, Mamikam Saranam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo. That is a saving event, that we turn to Krishna because he frees us from all reactions. Moksha Yishyami, I give you liberation, I free you. Masutraha, and do not fear. That is a saving event. The saving event in the life of Jesus is not that he was crucified to the cross. Tapyanti loka tapina, there's one verse, I don't know in Sanskrit. Great personalities suffer in this world while preaching the gospel of the Supreme Lord. This is considered to be the highest mode of worship. Maybe I can just find it. It's a beautiful verse. Give me a second. Huh? Yeah. Tapyanti loka tapina sadava prayasho jana Paramararanatadi Purashasi Yakilatmanaha. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntarily suffering because of the suffering of the people in generally. They accept suffering because they want to preach. And while preaching, they're encountering so many differences, difficulties. The Hindu orthodoxy went to the Qazi. He was not even a Hindu, he was a Muslim. The Jewish Orthodoxy, they complained about Jesus, they went to the Roman representative. And they said, take this man away, he's causing trouble in our community. He's preaching that you can love God directly. They were disturbed. So both were tortured And nobody of us thinks that we are saved by the whips that have beaten Haridas Thakur. That doesn't save a man. But if he follows the teachings of Haridas Thakur, that saves a man. If he follows the teachings of Jesus, what are the teachings? He was asked, what is the highest principle? Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Savai pungsam paro dharmo. What is the highest religion? Yato bhaktir adhoksaji. Ahaituki apratiyata yayatma supratiyati. Without any motivation, without interruption with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Bas. That is the essence of the teaching. It is universal truth. It is Sanatana Dharma. It is a lifestyle of the people in the spiritual world. What business does anybody come to this planet and preach his own religion? Nobody has business to invent religion. Dharma Nisakshat Bhagavat Pranita. Religion is made by God. So Jesus didn't start his own religion. He was not a Christian. He preached Bhagavad Dharma, Sanatana Dharma, eternal truth, universal truth. And then people, the myth-making starts. And people superimpose their small-minded concepts on somebody so great and try to redefine the teachings of the great soul in terms of mundane society. That has been the history of religion since time immemorial. Even in our own society, we see sometimes this tendency to redefine the teachings of Srila Prabhupada according to modern understanding. This is a disease. Prabhupada said it's a disease. You know how to open bottles. You don't know how to close them. You start so many new things, you don't see the consequences. The only hope for the world is Sanatana Dharma, because that is a lifestyle of the spiritual world. That's what people do in the spiritual world. They love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. It is the essence of every religiosity. The great Jewish teacher, Hillel, he lived in the year 33 AD, around the time of Jesus. He was asked, can you explain to me the essence of the Torah, of the Jewish scripture, in the time as long as I can stand on one leg? I mean, how long you can stand on one leg? Not very long. And he said, yes, I can. The essence of the Torah is one should love, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. One should love your Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. The same teaching. It's the essence of the Torah. It's the essence of Christianity. It's the essence of the teachings of Jesus, rather. It's the essence of any genuine spirituality, pure love of God, Sanatana Dharma. It's a lifestyle of the spiritual world. There's only one religion, and that is to love God. And if there's any kind of differences, we should understand most of these differences are concocted. They're man-made. They have nothing to do whatsoever with the essence of religiosity. Everybody has his own idea. Everybody has his own conception. And one philosopher disagrees with the other, as it says in the Mahabharata, there's one verse. So we should understand God's hand is in everything. When the planes, I remember I stood in front of the World Trade Center, and I looked up, and there was a devotee there. He invited our group, we had a Sankirtan group. He said, you should come and distribute books here. I have a table here. I'm serving juices to the people in the trade center. And I looked up the trade center and I said to him, if this ever comes down, I wouldn't like to be here. In the evening, I took the plane. When I came out of immigration, the airport, Heathrow, panicked. And I saw the second plane flying into the tower. The bishop in St. Patrick's gave a sermon. He said, where was God yesterday at 9 o'clock in New York? Where was God? He said, I can't understand it. All these poor people, why is this happening? Where was God in New York yesterday at 9 o'clock? He was right there. He was in the heart of the hijackers. He was probably in the heart of the people in the CIA who allowed it to happen. He was in the heart of everyone who died. Oh, there was one friend of us, Eric. He was working on the 108th floor of the Trade Center. He helped us in Taiwan. We were working in Taiwan, and he helped us. All of a sudden, 5 minutes before the plane flew into the tower, he thought that he should visit somebody, and he went down. When he reached the bottom and he came out of the elevator, he heard this big bang. Oh, there was another person. He tried to help us. He was an estate agent. He was living on the 107th floor. We wanted to see him, and that evening, he said, no, I can't come. Then tomorrow morning, he said, tomorrow I will play golf. And we said to him, we know you don't know how to play golf. He said, true, but I have to go. I can't come tomorrow. Everyone in his company was wiped out. Everyone in Eric's company was wiped out. There were about 500 life members, ISKCON life members, who worked in the World Trade Center. Everybody had some reason not to be in time. Either was sick or didn't make the tube or got stuck in traffic. Not one of our members was hurt. If Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. Rakhe. Thank you. This is very true. I give you an example out of my own life. One time, I used to preach in Northern Ireland, which is since 500 years, Catholics and Protestants are fighting. Everybody has his own Jesus. There are about 3,000 different groups who have their own Jesus, disagreeing with each other, fighting each other, killing each other, throwing bombs at each other. It goes on since in Germany, we made peace in the year 1648, the Catholics and the Protestants. In fact, in the hall of the castle, I was going to school. We had a beautiful hall like this. From the 16th century, the peace was signed between Catholics and Protestants because Germans are a little bit more sensible. They said, what is the use of butchering each other? They made peace. In Northern Ireland, the war has been going on since. The same war, the same people fighting with each other. Who is right? And people would ask us on the street, are you a Catholic or are you a Protestant? I said, I'm Hare Krishna. He said, no, are you a Catholic or Protestant? I said, but don't you see I'm a Hare Krishna? Are you a Catholic Hare Krishna or Protestant Hare Krishna? So one evening, there was one famous priest who was always on our case. Famous personality in Ireland. And he was always tracing us and speaking about us in a less favorable way. And so one day he called me and said, you have to come. It's a true story. I said, why? Why should I see you? He said, you better come. He said, otherwise you're in big trouble. He said, what's happening? He said, the father, the uncle of a boy who joined the movement is here with a boy, and he's out of his mind. I can't pacify him. You have to pacify him. I went. The man said to me, I said, I don't want to talk religion here. I have my religion, you have your ideas. He said, I want to tell this boy to go home to his mother and never come back to the temple. I said to the boy, how old are you? He said, 23. I said, how am I supposed to tell a 23-year-old boy what to do? He should make up his own mind. You want to go to your mother, go to your mother. If you want to go into the temple, go to the temple. Leave me out of this. It's not my business. The man became angry. He said, no, I want you to tell him that. Tell him. I said, I won't tell him. It's against my principle. God gives everybody the freedom. It's not our business to interfere with people's freedom to be atheist or theist. If somebody wants to be a Christian, let him be a Christian. If somebody wants to be a Muslim, let him be a Muslim. People have their freedom. Even Krishna doesn't interfere. What our business is, to interfere with the freedom of people to, if they want to go to hell, let them go to hell. If they want to go back to Krishna, let them go back to Krishna. So he said, I tell you for the last time. And I said, oh, you're warning me. I said, yes, I'm warning you. I tell you for the last time. Tell this boy to go back to his mother and never come back to the temple. And I said, and I will not say it. He said, you will regret it. And he stormed out of the room and slammed the door. And the priest said, if I were you, I would take a plane and get out of Ireland as quick as possible, not tomorrow, not day after tomorrow, tonight. He said, this man is a general of the Protestant underground army. He had on one side the Catholic underground army, the IRA, and yet on the other side the UDF. He's a killer. He said, you're dead. He said, leave this country. I said, I will not leave. I'm here since 14 years and I stay here. He said, you are foolish. He said, well, if Krishna wants to take me away, let it be. I'm staying right here. I'm not going to leave. Not one inch I'm going to move. 2 hours later, the priest called me up. And he said, something terrible happened. I said, what was it? The other army got intelligence from Krishna that he was in Dublin downtown. They planted a one-ton bomb under his car and blew him away. Haribo! Very nice. So if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. He obviously had plans to kill me. No doubt about it. Probably the same evening. But Krishna said no. The only thing they found of him was his thumb. Krishna just took him away. So we can have this faith in Krishna. And if we turn to Krishna, we will never be the loser. And if we encounter some dramatic situation, some crisis, even if we go through the dark night, even in Krishna consciousness, even in my own life, I can write a book about it. It is all for our good. It is for our good. It is Krishna is healing us. It is a negative process to become purified when we experience distress. What is a positive process to become purified? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Padasivanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Harinam. That's a positive process to become purified. If we don't do that, Krishna will beat us up. We have two choices in this world. Either we turn to Krishna or he's going to beat us. That's a fact. This is a simple truth. You have no choice. You might as well turn to Krishna. Otherwise, he's going to beat you into shape. There was one Sufi saint who said, when God loves you, then he throws you on his anvil. You know what an anvil is? Like this blacksmith, he has an anvil. Anvil, blacksmith. And he said, and he beats you and beats you and beats you till the iron has turned into gold. And that is a fact. that nobody has come to Krishna without any trials, without any difficulties, without any crises, without any devastation, without any loss. The path back to God is beset with thorns, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to say. But we should understand these thorns are Krishna's mercy. It is Krishna's way to extract us from the material world. And therefore we should never be upset when disaster strikes. Bhishma also, he was not upset lying on the bed of arrows. Jesus did not complain. The women on the street were crying. He said, don't cry for me. Cry for yourself and for your children. Because he was not in trouble. They were in trouble. He was with Krishna. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me. No, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. He was not in anxiety. We know those who come from Christian tradition that he was praying in the garden and he was sweating blood. It is interpreted by the theologians that he was in so much anxiety. Has everybody, any nurse in a hospital ever seen a person sweating blood? Even if the worst demon dies, does he sweat blood? Sweating, who was sweating blood? Krishna Chaitanya was sweating blood. It is not a symptom of anxiety. It is a symptom of ecstasy, of spiritual ecstasy. So these great souls, they speak the truth. And for the sake of the truth, they're willing to undergo all kinds of difficult situations, like Srila Prabhupada went through so many difficult situations for our sake. Where would you be? Where would I be if it wouldn't be for Srila Prabhupada? Where would we be? He went through so many difficulties. He would cry sometimes, cleaning the floor and washing the floor in a temple and cry because he wanted to serve Krishna. And so in the same way, we should cry to Krishna, please tell me what to do. What you want me to do? This should be our prayer. Tell me. I want to know. Shishyasteham sharimam tram papanam. I'm your disciple. Tell me what to do, Lord. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How can I serve you? That should be our prayer, our outcry. Guide me. Take me by your hand. Because I'm blind. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what you want from me. Please, reveal it to me. That should be our prayer. And ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock at the doors and they will be open. If you ask Krishna sincerely to guide us, he will guide us. He's ready for that. That's what he's waiting for. That is his question. When are you finished with your own God project? Everybody in the material world has his own God project. When are you finished with your God project? When are you coming to the position of being my servant? When are you finished? Krishna is waiting for that since many, many lifetimes. Since time immemorial, he is waiting for us. Life after life, he has been waiting. How long do we let Krishna? Do we have a heart? He's coming to us in one body after another, accompanying us, and we have no heart, we don't listen. Now we should take the opportunity. Not tomorrow. Now. Today. And for the rest of our life. To turn to him. And to give our life to him. And use our life in his service. And preach. Some or other. Or support the preaching. And Prabhupada was in London. He asked this question, what is the most important verse? And I happened to lift up my finger together with Haraka Prabhu. And we both said simultaneously, like parrots. Prabhupada was the magician. We said the same verse. He said, what is the most important verse? And we both said, Yaradi Kataka Krishna Pradesh. And Prabhupada said, that is a fact. Wherever you go, preach Krishna consciousness. He said, that is the essence. He said, what is Upadesh? Krishna Upadesh. And I said, maybe Srila Prabhupada, Desh means place. He said, no. Krishna Upadesh means the instructions of Krishna. And what are these instructions? And so we were silent. And he said, Sarva Dharman Prajaja Mam Ikam Saranam Vraja. So we have to give up all dharmas, this dharma, this concoction, this religious idea, that religious idea. People have so many ideas. What is God all about? But how do we know what God is like? Tene brahmari daya arikavai muyanti yatsura yaha. Shushapta brahma. If we impose our own ideas on God, we are fool number one. One time Prabhupada drove through Calcutta, Vishamashunda, and there was one personality, famous personality you may know, was standing like this with a turban on his head, famous Mayavadi. Standing like this, you see many statues of him in India. I don't say it, but it starts with Vivika and ends with Ananda. So there was one poster after the other, standing like this, and Prabhupada said to Shamashunda, you know what he's saying? Shamasunda said, no, I don't know. I don't see him saying anything. Prabhupada said, yes, he's saying I'm fool number one. Because he's imposing his own ideas on Krishna, like everybody else does. Everybody imposes his ideas with God. Imagine a rat would imagine God. Certainly the rat will think God is an enormous rat with a golden fur and a crown on his head and a tail from here to the fridge. So humans have so many ideas what God is all about. And so therefore you have so many different dharmas. This dharma, that dharma. And Krishna says, give it all up. Because it is all sheer nonsense. Sheer nonsense. Just concoction. Dhamman hi sakshat pranitam. Religion is made by God and by nobody else. And therefore we have to take it from God. We have to hear from Krishna. Even Jesus said, he was fasting in the desert for 40 days. And Maya came to him and said, Master, you're hungry. Say one word and the stones will turn into bread. So Maya was teasing him. 40 days, very hungry. The body starts to digest itself. Anybody who knows how to fast, any doctor will tell you after 40 days of fasting, the body starts to digest itself. And the result is that you feel an enormous hunger. Anybody who has fasted, I went through this at one stage. Initially, you're very hungry, then you lose all hunger, and then it is very easy to fast. But after 40 days around that time, when the body starts to, you are attacked by enormous hunger, you could eat a house. So at that time, the devil came, Maya came, and said, Master, say one word, and these stones will turn into bread. And he said, you know what his answer was? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What a wonderful thing to say. What a wonderful thing to say. Tava katamrita tatta jivanam. What is the verse?
Buri bhavadanam. Sravana mangalam srimadatatam bruvi bhuvintante te katamritam.
Buddha Janma.
One second. Tavakatamri tatapta jivanam kavibir idram kama shapam shravanam mangalam shrimad atatam buvigrinanti buridana rachanaha. My Lord, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. My Lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those. Man doesn't live by bread alone, they're the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this world. Great souls are aggrieved. They suffer because they see the suffering of others. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with transcendental power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. There you have it. Yaradekataka Krishna Vadesh. So somehow or other, we have to participate in this great yajna to spread Krishna consciousness. The world is a ship of fools. It's a ship of fools. People don't know what they're living for. They have forgotten who they are. So they try to be somebody else. Indians try to look like Americans. Well, you see, I see in New York, you can see the grandfather is walking in a dhoti, the father is walking in kurta pyjama, and the kids are walking in blue jeans. In India, the same situation. You know, so people, it's hard to be yourself if you have forgotten who you are. Consequently, you try to be somebody else. People have this enormous identity crisis because they don't understand their spirits. Spirits in the material world. Where was God in New York? Well, that what penetrates the body is indestructible. No one can destroy the imperishable soul for one. Nobody died. People gave up their bodies, and everybody was in the right spot at that time. Make no doubt about it, Krishna makes no mistake. Everybody pays his own bills. Nobody can die for our sins. Who was trying in our Krishna in Chaitanya Katha? Who offered to die for the sins of the world? Vasudev Datta offered to suffer the sins of the world. Lord Chaitanya said that it's not necessary. Nor is it practical. Somebody else dies for your karma. Imagine somebody dies for your sins, the whole spiritual world becomes filled with fools and rascals. People who aren't qualified. Krishna puts us here for good reason. He creates this jail. He doesn't want us in the spiritual world unless we reform. That is the idea. So if somebody dies for our sins, what is the use of that? We have to reform ourselves. Then we can go back to the spiritual world. We have to accept the lifestyle of the spiritual world. Then we can go. So nobody has to die for us. Krishna wants to see that we reform, that we have a change of heart, that we turn to him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and then we will see Krishna everywhere, and we'll see Krishna in everything, and we will be in the right state of mind when we die. You see, all these tests that we experience, they're just training us for the ultimate test. If we can learn to see Krishna in this test, and in that test, and in that test, and in that test, we will be able to see Krishna in the final test. How are we going to see Krishna in the final test unless we see in these little pinpricks that Krishna is giving us, Krishna? He's training us. It is never between you and them when you suffer. Never between you and them. In the ultimate analysis, it's only between you and Krishna. It always has been like this. In the spiritual world as much as in the material world. It always is. And it always will be. Therefore we have to love what is. Because that what is nothing but Krishna. At every moment. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. A little kirtan and then we have some questions. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.